And you may be seated. While we're waiting, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's see if we can get this. I'm going to be preaching out of verses 8 to 14, but once again, I'll be jumping around a little bit. So I hope you got your fingers in walking mode, and we'll check it out here. I'm going to begin in verse 1, and it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this is the light within you, produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Today I want to talk about something that goes back clean, back in Genesis, from the creation of time. Light. Something that we all look forward to. I know the other day, Thursday, my favorite time of the year. Favorite day. It's the longest day. Unfortunately, I saw the sun come up and I saw the sun go down. And I was working at both ends of that. So it was a long day. But I got into work. I had to be in work at 5 o'clock that morning. And this is a picture of the sunset, or sunrise, I'm sorry, coming up over the skies. Wow. An amazing thing about this picture is the night before, which was the longest day of the year, so this was taken Friday morning, the sunset almost looked identical to this. I was mowing yard, and it was light enough that I could still see where I hadn't mowed, and the sun was setting, and I looked up through the trees, and this beautiful purple, pink, and gorgeous sunset, and I thought, here it is. The Lord has given his signature by his light on the beginning of the day, on the end of the day, and even filled it in between with his glorious love. And God is so amazing. And yet throughout Scripture, he talks about light. How many think you know what this is? A picture of. Okay, there was a guy that had a business, and his business was going into people's home and cleaning up pets. And his business was thriving, and what he would do is he would go around to people's houses that he saw had pets, and he'd say to them, can I show you something in your house? And they'd say, sure. You know, you think your house is pretty well clean. We all live. You scrub it, you wash it, you vacuum it at least once a month. Me, it'd be once every 6 months. But, you know, you do it occasionally. And So he says, okay, let me demonstrate. You have a pet. And what this is a black light shining on the carpet. A pet urine. Okay? What he would do is he would go into the houses, close the curtains, and take this black light. And, you know, people think, oh, I wiped up after the cat or the dog. I cleaned up after him and everything's good. But because of the protein, under a black light, it shines forth. And he would go through and people will be amazed. You know, they think it's right out in the open is where they do their business. Well, if you ever had an animal, a pet, you know they don't always do what we think they should do. They would find it on the walls, on the drapes, on the speakers, on the back of the couch, in places. And one lady says, I don't care what it costs, just get rid of it. You know, another person says, you know, oh, I don't know if I can live in this house anymore. You live in it every day. But the light shows something to us. Under the light, it reveals the mess that we have. And so much in our lives, we try to hide and not expose it. But God has a way of revealing it. Another scene I like to think, and as a kid growing up, I always used to think, remember how you'd see the sunlight coming, rays coming through the side, and it looks like it was a spotlight on somebody. I always thought that was God shining the spotlight on a blessing on someone special. What was interesting is I was studying for this. A scientist had looked at the rays of the sun, and what they found out, there's three different types of rays in the sun, in the actual sunlight. The first is a chemical ray, okay? And that chemical ray, it's not felt or seen. It's part of the sunlight, though, okay? The second part is the light rays. These are seen but not felt. The third part of it is the heat rays. And those are what is felt but not seen. Now, probably the latter two we can all relate to. You know, you go out on a beautiful day like this, and what's the first thing you do? You grab your sunglasses, right? We try to protect ourselves from the bright sun. As I was walking in, I heard a jet flying over, and me, like a silly person, looked up, and guess what I looked into? The sun. Going like this, you know. But it's something interesting also is, when you look at this, here's God who created the light, correct? In the beginning, he said, let there be light, let there be darkness, and he divided the two. But if we look at the light rays, we also know that there's a trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The chemical rays represent God. You can't see it, you can't feel it, but you know it's there, right? The light rays represent Jesus Christ. You can see him. We saw him. He was on earth. He came and made his presence known. And the heat rays, what's this one? What's left of the Trinity? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's what fills us. The Holy Spirit's what teaches us. The Holy Spirit is what empowers us. And you know, something else that's interesting, and we often think of this when it's middle of winter, the cold. There's no such thing as cold. Darkness, there's no such thing as darkness. What darkness is the absence of light. You can't create darkness. We can create light. We got a flashlight here. We create light. This is a pretty bright one. I don't want to shine in anybody's eyes. You know, a laser light will blind someone if you shine it on the retina. So darkness is the absence of light. Actually, the same as with heat and cold. Cold is the absence of heat. Death is the absence of light. Sin is the absence of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was in his letter here to the Ephesians church, was talking to them and trying to encourage them. And if you have a look at the headings of in your Bibles, mine in this section and beginning in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, living the light, living in the light. And if you go back in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about in verses 17 to 32, living as children of light. So Paul, as well as Jesus himself, talked a lot about the light. the light shining, the light being in each and every one of us. In John chapter 12 and 46, Jesus says, I come as the light into the world. And in Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. Those are pretty short, brief, but really profound statements when you stop and think about it. We are the light of the world. What are we supposed to do with the light? If I have this nice, beautiful light and it does me no good other than sit in my truck and I can play with the cat or the dog with this by teasing them and making them chase it around. Okay, I play with it. But if it does no good other than what its intent was to lighten up something that's dark. Okay, we use light. You work on a car, you put a trouble light out there. You want to be able to see when you smash your fingers. Or when that wrench slips off and you scrape a few knuckles. You get down the road at nighttime. You want to be able to see before something jumps out in front of you. Not only that, but you want to also warn other people that you're coming down the road too. You know, it's amazing. Even the old cars, you notice how your windshield slopes back? I never knew this, but my son's father-in-law had a Model T. I think it was a Model T. Ford. And with a straight up and down windshield, it reflects the light back on the oncoming passengers. That's why they no longer straight up and down windshields or slopes, so the light doesn't reflect, because it looks almost like a mirror as you're coming at that. I'm young enough. I wasn't around when those were on, so I thought that was interesting. But we are to reflect the light. Like a mirror, like a lens. We're supposed to reflect what God has given to us. When he calls us to be the light of the world, he doesn't mean, okay, you just sit there and if I take this flashlight and go like this, it's not brightening up anything besides my shirt. But if I take it and shine it around, even in this lighted room, I can still shine up in that back wall. Up in the ceiling. See, we can still be a light, even though the world will say we don't need light. We have our own selves. We are our own person. We can do it on our own. In 1 John 1:5, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In John 8:12, it says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows after me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, we are called to be a light. We are called to do and represent, reflect. If God says he is light, Jesus came into the world and said, I am the light of the world. And then he tells us in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows after me will not be in darkness. You should not have darkness surrounding you. Remember the cartoon, Peanut cartoon? Who was it, Linus or Pigpen, that had the cloud, wasn't it, over his head all the time or around him? Don't be the Pigpen in the world. Don't be the dark cloud, the dust, the dirt. Be the light that shines. Be the light that the people want to say, hey, can you shine your light over here? I got some darkness in my life that I'm not sure about. And I notice that you're always got a good spirit. You always seem happy. Have you ever gone through a rough time and someone comes up to you and say, hey, wait a minute. I can't believe you just went through what you did. And you're still praising God? Well, yeah, I am. I like the song that Chuck sang at the beginning, Bring the Rain. Because through that rain, we have a chance to shine. We have a chance to be that rainbow that will reflect God's love, God's glory in each and every one of us. Even in Ephesians 5:8, it says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. Do you feel it? Do you believe that verse? that you have the light of God in you? A light that can't be hid, a light that can't be squelched. In Matthew, Jesus tells, be the light on the hill. A light on the hill is supposed to shine out all the way around. A lighthouse was a beacon to ships coming into port, where they can guide their ship through the night, even through the storms. That lighthouse is there with that beacon of light, that beacon of hope that says, follow the course. Keep your eye on the light. The captain of that boat will say, stay focused upon that light beam. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Because there's rocks. There's danger over there. There may be sand barges. Someone has gone on before them and found a pathway that's safe for a ship to travel, and that lighthouse says, follow this path. Isn't that kind of like our lives? We're going along, we got a path mapped out, and Christ gave us his word to say, this is what I want from you, this is what you need to do, this is my laws, this is how you obey me, follow these paths. And then all of a sudden we look over here and say, oh, look at that. The water looks nice and clear. Hey, let's go over there and take a shortcut. And before you know it, we run a sandbar, don't we? Or how about over there? Oh, wow. I want to go over there. Next thing, the underside ripped out from under us because of rocks, boulders, jagged edges that destroy us, that will try to sink us. And that's Satan. That would love to destroy you, that would love to discourage you, and love for you to sink. So I'm going to look at two things. One, first off, I want to look at the positive. I want to set you on a positive note and say, how do we live the light life? How do we live a life that reflects the life of Jesus? And that's what we need to do. We need to reflect what God is in each and every one of us. And the first way is we reflect his characters. We reflect the goodness of our lives in God. In James 1, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above. In Psalm 25:8, good and upright is the Lord, and he instructs sinners in his ways. In Psalm 34:8, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Back in the beginning of time, when God and the Trinity created the universe, he says, and he created light, and what did he say? And it was what? It was good. The light from God is good. If you've asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior into your heart, that's good. That's the good in life. It doesn't mean that everything will be smooth and there won't be rocks, there won't be boulders, sand barges, and all these, because we know that Satan is out there and he would love to destroy you. But keep your eyes focused on the light. The light that is in within you. And the goodness that God has given you. When I looked at that sunrise the other morning, I'm sitting there, I was at work, and I'd walked outside to check on some stuff out there, and it was like, wow. Here in the middle of chaoticness and hecticness of my morning, God is good. Amen? Amen. It's like, okay, I got this. And I also know, red at night sailor's light, red in the morning sailor's warning. It was about an hour later the rains came. But it was hope. It was a promise that God promised us something good. That we need the rain. But we need to reflect his goodness. Don't be like the world around you. Don't be drugged in by their hatefulness, their bitter, their anger. be above them. Be the light that shines. God is righteous. Reflect that. Verses 8 to 10 in chapter 5. It says this, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light of the Lord. So live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." Turn with me quick back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is full of God's righteousness, full of words of promises. It tells us about his character in Psalm 119 and verse 37. "Righteous are you, O Lord, and the laws, your laws are right." It reflects his righteousness of his testimony in Psalm 119, 138. "The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy." Everything God has said, you can take it to the bank. God will promise what he says. His promises, his word is full of promises from Genesis to Revelation. And not one of them he has not fulfilled. Some may be in the future, but not one of them is a lie. That's his righteousness. That's his testimony. It says, "I can't lie. If I tell you something, I will do it. If I don't, then I'm a liar and I'm not God." But I believe that he is God, and his word will never fail. In 119, verse 172, "May my tongue sing of your word, for your commands are righteous." His commands. His judgments in Psalm 119, verses 7 and 62. "I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. At midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws." Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and just felt burdened to pray? Or God, maybe a song's going through your mind. I know my wife does this all the time. We'll be going down the road and she'll say, "Turn that song off." I said, "But I like that song." "Yeah, but it'll get in my head, and then I'll sing it all day." But she'll wake up with, in the middle of the night, with these hymns going through her mind. And what do you do with that? Praise God. If I can't go to bed, if I go to bed and can't go to sleep, I say, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to pray about?" And I just start praying. And usually I fall asleep before I get through everything that he wants me to pray for. Soothing. It's relaxing. His commands. His judgments are righteous. God brings the judgment. His promises, we already talked about. His eyes, "My eyes fail looking for you," in Psalm 119, 123. Looking for your salvation. Looking for your righteous promise. And finally in Acts, his acts. 1 Samuel 12, 7 says this, "Now then, stand here because I'm going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord by you and your fathers." So many times throughout Scripture, I love it when the Lord says, "Yeah," and we talked about this last week too, "let me show you something." And so many times I can see God doing that to people today in Job. He said, "Job, Let me say something here. Were you there when I created the heavens and the earth? Were you there when I did all these things in the beginning of time?" You see, God's looking at it and saying, "Wait a minute, man. You think you're right. You think you know it all. You think you're doing good. But were you there and know my plans, what I have in store for you, what I expect of you?" We don't know the mind of God, but we know his heart. In his word that he tells us, "These are the things that I give to you." That's why we read his word. That's why we study his word. We live the righteous light life. God is a God of truth. Again, 119:60. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. God is a discerning God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I lost my page. So bear with me. There we go. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 14 to 16. Says this, with the Lord's authority I say to this. This is beginning in verse 17, I should say. With the Lord's authority, live no longer as Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Back up again to verse 14. It says, they will no longer be immature like children. Won't we be tossed and blown about in every wind of new teaching? Will we not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth? Instead, speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. You look at the world today. I don't know about you, but it's messed up. Oh, Scripture is coming true that they will call wrong right and right wrong. The things that they say that we're guilty of, they're doing blatantly and in our face, and it's okay for them. That's the way Satan works. He puts us down. But folks, we need to have discernment. We need to know what God's Word says. We need to study it so when the world does come at you and say, well, that's okay to do this. No, it's not. I don't care what you say. God's Word says it's sin. God's Word says it's wrong. And I believe it. And that seals it in my heart. But the world will try to entice us. It will try to make us believe that it's okay. And listen, Satan has been at it since the beginning of time. He knows patience. They say, you want to see where the church is at? In 20 years, look where the world's at today. Look back in the 80s. What went on in the 80s that we said, no way will that ever happen in the church. What do we have today? We have priests preaching and practicing homosexuality. Everything that God's Word said is wrong, and back in the 70s and 80s it said, it's okay, it's okay. Church said, no, it ain't. Look where we're at today. Have discernment. Matthew 7. Verses 15 to 23. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. I like that verse for the simple reason I don't know people's hearts. Only God does. And only God can judge. But I know what I see. And people out there will try to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe. But a good tree does not bear bad fruit. If they're not living a life that is changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, then I question their salvation. Even Satan knows who God is and who Jesus is, and knows that when he comes, he says, get away from us. It's not our time. He's saying, listen. Wait. Have discernment. Here's why. As I said, darkness is the absence of light. And if God is light, then the absence of it is Satan. Satan will try to hide things in the darkness. This is Satan's battlefield. Satan, the darkness is a work of Satan. In John 8:44, you belong to the Father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, and there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan will lie to you, folks. He will tell you it's good and it's not. He will tell you it's okay. There's a song on the radio, "Fear is a liar." Satan is a liar. He will tell you you're not worth it. You don't deserve it. God will never forgive you. That's a lie from the pits of hell. If we confess our sins, it says he is faithful and just to forgive us. Satan's a liar. Don't believe in him. Look over in chapter 6 and verse 12 of Ephesians. It says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authority of the unseen world, against the mighty powers of this dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly places." Folks, we don't fight against flesh and blood. Yes, Satan uses us, uses people to destroy you, to try to distract you. But this is Satan's world. He says, let me have it. Depression is a great darkness. A darkness that many, many people struggle with. I've struggled with it. And it feels like once you get caught in it, it's a downward spiral, and you keep going down deeper and deeper into the darkness, into that black hole, and you feel hopeless and like you can't. But you've got to look up at the light and say, wait a minute, this is a lie from Satan. I don't want to be depressed. And I know that seems simplified, but it starts with the heart and the attitude of the mind to say, no, and I know there's drugs and stuff that can help with that too. But keep in mind, darkness is the domain of Satan. Darkness rejects the Christ. John 1:4. In him was light, and that light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You ever tried talking to someone about Jesus Christ and you feel like you can walk over that wall and go, they just won't understand? Someone yesterday at men's prayer was saying that he tried witness to this guy for 2 hours and he says, "I'm not a sinner." Well, duh, you just sin by lying and say you're not a sinner. But they don't understand it. I'm a good person. I never killed anyone. I never robbed a bank. They don't understand it because Satan has put blinders on it, has put a scale over their eyes. Until they see the light and the scales are removed, they're going to remain in the darkness. But that darkness will bring God's penalty. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Says this, "Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse their sin, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him." Don't be fooled. In Romans 1:8, "The wrath of God is being revealed from the heavens against all godliness of the wickedness, godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." God has made it plain to them, very clear to them from the beginning of time. You go outside, you look around you, no, that's of God. Man can't do it. God did it. Yeah, they're making these robots that can think and do stuff like this, and you know, the cars out there, the carless drivers and all that sort of thing. But where'd they get their material from? God already made it, right? They haven't designed or they haven't created anything new. They revealed some things that always points back to God. Darkness leads the ultimate destiny of eternal darkness. In Matthew 8:12, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, how many like going outside when it's sunny out? And I'm not talking about just sunbathing or like that. How many like enjoy going out and getting sunshine? I do. I mean, after winter, when in January and February, where you had 28 out of 31 days where it's been overcast, snowy, cold, cloudy, man, that sunshine, it feels like 70 degrees outside, even though maybe only 20. My mother-in-law lives, and she's up in age, but she insists on living in her house with the blinds pulled shut, the windows closed, and living no lights on. And I'm like, how can you do that? The light needs to shine in. We need that vitamin D from the sunlight. The penalty of following Satan in the darkness is a gnashing of teeth. Here, once again, the darkness is no longer who we are in verse 8. It says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light of the Lord. Folks, let it shine. Have the hope by avoiding evil, as it says in verses 7 and 11. Don't do what the world does. By exposing evil, show people, with, you know what the light, like that picture I showed you of the cat urine, dog urine with the black light? That's what the Holy Spirit does to sin. It brings it out. We may not be able to see it. The world may not see it. But you know what? When the Lord shines His light upon it, guess what? When the Lord shines His word upon it, it's like this. It's a flashlight that'll blind you and say, wow, I didn't know that was that bad. Here's the other thing that we do by leading others out of the darkness and into the light. No better joy I receive than witnessing to somebody and seeing the Holy Spirit use me to bring someone to that saving knowledge of who He is. That's what we're called to do. How many of you like license plates? You ever get down the road and look at license plates? Well, here's a couple I captured, you know, and it's interesting when you see people's vehicles and they have Christian emblems and Christian stickers on it, and that's fine, I'm not condemning it. Me, I'm a little more cautious because when I get pulled over for speeding, I don't want to see a Christian emblem back there, you know, like, hey, I sin. I get in a hurry sometimes. But here's a couple I found. Got God, you've seen the one Got Milk, okay? How about this? Warning, in case of rapture, this car will be driverless. Eternity, I like this. Smoking or non-smoking? Jesus is coming. Everyone look busy. Oh, that'll get by. And this one, Lord, help me be the person my dog thinks I am. Don't we all wish that? So let me close by asking you, are you living the light life? You're the light. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you are the light of the world. So let your light shine. Just like these lights in here and this flashlight, let your light shine in the darkness. Put the spotlight on Steve up there and say, Steve, are you living in the light? I don't want to blind anyone. But is your light shining? or are you keeping it under a bushel? Where do you stand today? Let's bow our heads.